thickened into a briny-scented cloak that hid her and her horse. Beneath her, the anxious animal stepped sideways. It tossed its head, making the hardware of its bridle jingle. She leaned forward as best she could with her skirts wound around her legs to ride astride and stroked the horse's damp neck in an attempt to soothe it. The beast wasn't familiar with magic in Norum, and small villages up and down the colony's coast, power such as Alice's was always ruthlessly stamped out the moment it appeared. Any boy who showed magical aptitude went to be educated at the academies and make his fortune in the larger towns. Any girl who failed to hide her supernatural ability was killed. She tried to quiet the horse, yet there was no one to soothe her own rattling nerves. Hoofbeats thundered on the road and the glow of torches streaked past. She held her breath as the mounted group of pursuers drew to a halt. They gathered in a circle in the middle of the road, not 30 feet from her. Her mantle of magic-summoned shadows clung to her and her horse. For now, 12 men massed, all of them as known to her as her own blood kin. Some of them were her blood kin. They wore cloaks over their rough fisherman's clothing, the hoods pulled up and low, but she recognized them just the same. Her house is empty. The glow of torchlight shone on Lawrence Charles's face, his expression twisted by anger and the dancing flame.
"You should have waited," Constable John Vale protested. "The dresser drawers were on the floor, clothes were scattered." "How did she know we were coming for her?" Vale growled. "Her magic." "How would I know?" "You could have warned her. Or maybe she is there and you're lying." "Alice may be my cousin," Lawrence threw back, "but there's as much love between us as 2 stones. Struth, I can well believe she's a witch in league with the devil. Since she was in leading strings, she had an uncanny way about her. The way she spoke to the sea, the fire in her eyes, whenever the moon was full. And then when her husband died,
when she murdered him," Quentin Brown said grimly, "used her magic to strike him down upon the deck of his own boat so she could take the vessel for herself."
The men muttered prayers. It wasn't true. Samuel Tanner had possessed a weak heart, which proved to be his doom. Yet if these men believed Alice had been the agent of his death, her fate was cast.
"It's in her blood," Vale grumbled. "That sister of hers, Ellen, keep that woman's name from your lips,"
Davy Smythe said quickly. "The sister may be dead, but witches can have power from beyond the grave. In Virginia, they burned one at the stake. With her last breath, she cursed her executioners, and 3 days later, those that brought her to the stake and lit the flames all died of putrid fevers. Speak no more of Alice Tanner's sister." Hot tears burned Alice's eyes, and she blinked them back.
"The sooner Alice is at the end of a noose," Lawrence vowed,
"the happier I'll be."
"The happier any of us will be," Quentin snapped. "The road to the east past the village is cut off to her. Dugan and the others have the roads out of Norum watched," Vale said, confident. "None of Alice Tanner's witches will get far, unless they use their infernal magic to take to the skies,"
Quentin pointed out, and the men cast their fearful gazes up to the dark night above. Despite her fear, Alice nearly laughed. How powerful did they think her to be? She was still learning the limits of her magic so long suppressed. Flight was one art she'd yet to attempt.
"Head to the crossroads. We'll block her escape routes to the north and south."
Lawrence kicked his horse, as did the others, and with the pounding of dozens of hooves, they were off on the hunt. Alice's hands tightened on the reins. Damn them all. The glare of torchlight was swallowed by the trees along the road. Her eyes adjusted to the night, making sense once more out of shadows before she urged her horse into a gallop. The world was huge and dark around her, sinister, where once she'd been most alive and herself in the hours between midnight and dawn. She headed back to the village.